Welcome to Tardi Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Today, ignite potential. It's the day when we turn to you to support the Women's Initiative. Give to the programming you love, Tardi Mecha Parsha, Tardi Mecha Nachyomi, Rebbetzin Kala Teacher, Kiruv and Chinuch Mental Health Fellowship, Lay Leadership Development, Mikvah Attendant and Director Sense and Sensitivity. Whether learning, leadership, or community engagement, every contribution you give us, we turn around and give back to you with the programs and initiatives you love. Go to upreaching.com/OU/WI giving. And now for today's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Kahan, and I'm excited to learn Sefer Bamidbar with you. Today we'll be learning Parshat Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar opens with the first of two censuses that frame our Sefer, and our Parsha focuses in detail on that census. But on closer analysis, this first census of our Sefer raises a number of questions, and its purpose seems obscure. In fact, one could argue that the census of Parshat Bamidbar seems totally unnecessary, for two separate reasons. First of all, just several months previously, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to take account of Bnei Israel. In Shmot Lamed, Psukim Yud Aleph through Tet Zayin, Hashem commands Moshe to collect a half shekel from each man in order to count the nation. And in Shmot Lamed Chet, Psukim Kaf Hei through Kaf Chet, the results of that census are reported. In fact, amazingly, the result of the census in Shmot Lamed Chet is exactly the same as that in Bamidbar Aleph. The Torah tells us in both places that there were 603,550 men. This by itself is a question that the Mefarshim address. How could it be that there was no population change whatsoever over the course of the intervening months? But in any case, the short period of time between the two censuses and the identical number yielded by both makes us wonder why the census in Parshat Bamidbar is necessary at all, and even more so, why the Torah devotes so much detail and attention to it. On the flip side, there's also a census toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar in Parshat Pinchas, Bamidbar Kavav, which also raises questions about our census in Parshat Bamidbar. We understand that in the wake of Bnei Israel's protracted journey through the desert that was a punishment for Chet HaMeraglim, it was necessary to conduct another census at the end of Sefer Bamidbar to count the people before their entry into the land. But Rav Tamir Granot points out a major literary question. By the time the Torah was written down, Chet HaMeraglim had already happened. The number of Bnei Israel who were counted at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar was irrelevant. They were not going to go to battle. They were not going to inherit the land. That ship had sailed long ago. And so in light of this, why does the Torah see fit to include all of the details of the census in Parshat Bamidbar, a year after Yitziat Mitzrayim, which ultimately became irrelevant? We're left with questions in both directions. Why is the census in Parshat Bamidbar necessary in light of the census of Kitisa that took place just months earlier and which yielded the exact same result? And also, why is it included in the Torah, given that it unfortunately becomes irrelevant after Chet HaMeraglim and is supplanted by the census in Parshat Pinchas? Let's first address the first question. What is the purpose of the Mifkad of the census in our Parsha in light of the earlier one in Parshat Kitisa? Mefarshim offer many answers to this question. We'll focus on just two. However, if you're interested in diving more deeply into this question, please see the essay Censuses in the Wilderness, available at the website alhatorah.org, which delves into a rich range of exegetical approaches to this issue. Some Mefarshim, like Rashi and Lekach Tov, conclude that it cannot be that there was a practical need for censuses so close to each other in time, particularly when there was no change in the population. Therefore, they suggest that the census was taken not to fulfill any strategic or tactical need, but as an expression of Hashem's love for his people. Hashem counts the Jewish people repeatedly, in the way that a parent who takes her child to the park constantly scans to check on all of them out of her love and protectiveness of them. In the same way, Rashi says, Hashem commanded a census of the Jewish people three separate times in their first year after leaving Egypt, upon their departure in Shmot Yud Bet, After Chet HaEgel and Shmot Lamed, Rashi believes that this parak appears somewhat out of chronological order. And again in Parshat Bamidbar, when the Shekhinah settled upon them at the time of the establishment of the Mishkan. The Mefarshei Rashi, the super commentaries on Rashi, point out something fascinating about Rashi's comment. Rashi makes his statement about the purpose of the Mifkad on Bamidbar Parak Aleph Pasuk Aleph, which just states that Hashem spoke to Moshe on the first of Iyar, rather than on Pasuk Bet, which actually mentions the census. Why does Rashi specifically choose to comment on the date of the commandment to take the census when he describes the love of Hashem for Bnei Israel? The Levush HaOra, one of the Mefarshei Rashi, very beautifully notes that most mitzvot in the Torah are given without specifying the date on which they were commanded. But since the purpose of this census was to count the people as Hashem made his Shekhinah rest on them through the establishment of the Mishkan, which is a sign of his great love for them, the date is given to reflect that Hashem is acting here like a groom who gives a formal dated marriage document to his wife at the moment of their union. The inclusion of the date is another manifestation of Hashem's love that's expressed through the census. The first pasuk of Sefer Bamidbar is Hashem's ketubah to Am Yisrael. While Rashi's answer is very compelling, it's worth noting that there are some textual difficulties with it, including the identical results of the two censuses. Rashi makes several assumptions to account for this, including assuming that there were no deaths during the months between the two censuses. Another more practical approach to the question of the need for a census so soon after the census of Kitisa is offered by Mefarshim, including Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, the Chizkuni, and the Vilna Gaon. These Mefarshim all suggest that there really only was one census. The commandment to Moshe in Parshat Kitisa was not fulfilled immediately, and in fact was only meant to be fulfilled later, in the second year after leaving Mitzrayim, as described in Bamidbar Aleph. These Mefarshim are primarily motivated by the fact that the same number is recorded in Shmot Lamed Chet and Bamidbar Aleph. And this leads them to conclude that both chapters actually describe the same census. These two different approaches represent two solutions to the problem of what was the purpose of the census in Parshat Bamidbar so soon after the census in Kitisa. According to the first approach, the proximity in time is exactly the point. There is no practical purpose for such a census, but it represents the closeness of Hashem's relationship to Am Yisrael and his devoted care for us. According to the second approach, there actually only was one census. Parshat Bamidbar is the fulfillment of the commandment in Parshat Kitisa. Now let's turn to the second major question of why our Parshat census is not simply replaced by the census later in Parshat Pinchas after the punishment of Chet HaMeraglim has been fulfilled. Rav Tamir Granot suggests two answers to this question. The first is that the purpose of recording the first census is to depict the hope that was shattered with Chet HaMeraglim. Each detail of the census was an expression of excitement in preparing to enter the land, and as we read this week's Parsha, we feel a tingling sense of dread, knowing that all of these preparations are ultimately in vain. It's like reading a description of all of the myriad detailed preparations for a simcha that we know in our hearts is never going to happen. It helps us understand viscerally and really internalize the magnitude of the sin, the shattering of hope and potential that it represented, and the depth of the disappointment and devastation that followed in its wake. An alternative way of answering this question has to do with identifying the different purposes of the two censuses in the eyes of Bnei Israel and what this reflects about their development as a nation. While no purpose is explicitly stated for the census in Parshat Bamidbar, logically it seems to be a preparation for the military conquest of the land. By contrast, Bamidbar Kavav Nun Gimel implies that the purpose of the second census is to prepare for the division of the Nachalot of Eretz Yisrael among all the tribes. This interpretation, that the purpose of the second census is not military, is borne out by the fact that this generation had already entered into battle with their enemies in the preceding chapters of the second half of Sefer Bamidbar without finding it necessary to count themselves beforehand. The Torah is teaching us about a shift in mindset between the generation that left Egypt, which carried out the first census, and the generation that entered Eretz Yisrael, which carried out the second census. The truth is that Bnei Israel's military success does not depend on our own numbers and strength, but on the salvation of Hashem that blesses our efforts with victory. The mistaken belief that our numbers bring us success and the lack of accompanying faith in Hashem was the downfall of the generation that left Egypt and ultimately led to Chet HaMeraglim. By contrast, the generation of the end of Sefer Bamidbar was willing to enter into military battle with a strong sense that Hashem was with them, and they only felt the need to conduct a census in order to prepare for the apportioning of the Nachalot. Thus, the census of Parshat Bamidbar is included to highlight the nation's transition from fear to faith that takes place over the course of the Sefer. Both of these answers, like Rashi's answer to the first question, indicate that while there may not have been a practical, tactical purpose of the Mifkad, it is incredibly important in helping us more deeply understand the experience and spiritual reality of Bnei Yisrael. I want to close with an insight from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, about the nature of the censuses in our Sefer, Chumash HaPekudim. Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that the Torah repeatedly uses the Shoresh Pakad to describe the censuses of Sefer Bamidbar, choosing not to use the verbs lispor or limnot, which specifically mean to count. The Shoresh Pakad appears many times in Tanakh, generally in the context of Hashem's remembrance of someone and his attention and relationship to that person as a result of the remembrance. Sometimes this verb has a positive connotation, as in Vahashem Pakad et Sarah in the story of the birth of Yitzchak. And sometimes it's negative or punitive, as when Hashem tells us that he'll continually recall and visit upon us our sin of Chet HaEgel, uveyom pakti ufakarti alehem chatatam. Rav Lichtenstein teaches that the reason that this verb is used in the context of the censuses of Sefer Bamidbar is that when counting a group for a national purpose like military conquest or settling the land, one might be tempted to focus only on the group as a whole and to forget about the individuals who comprise the group. The word pakad, with its powerful connotations of divine remembrance and relationship on both communal and individual levels, reminds us that the Torah never ever ignores the significance and uniqueness of each individual human being, even in the context of national events. Another meaning of the Shoresh Pakad is related to the word pikudim, referring to mitzvot, as in Pikudei Hashem Misharim Misam Chilev. Hashem's statutes are straightforward or upright, gladdening the heart. The use of the Shoresh Pakad, which connotes the strength and intensity of the relationship between Hashem and man, reminds us that mitzvot are not just laws that Hashem gives us as a group, but the means through which Hashem relates to and interacts with each of us as an individual, and through which we relate to Hashem and build a relationship with Him. May our learning together of Sefer Bamidbar lead us to a deeper understanding of how the Torah shapes us as a nation and speaks to us as individuals. Shabbat Shalom.